All right. If you have your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
We are in our school of prayers today. And if you remember, last time we began our teaching, the series I titled Elements in Prayer. And I want to continue from there today. Well, we'll read two texts today. First of all, from the book of Matthew chapter 6. I think that was the one we read last time. If not, something similar to that. Book of Matthew chapter 6. Now, he was teaching them how to pray as part of the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just start from verse 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father. Everybody says your Father. Say your Father. Everybody say your Father. He said, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is being done. No, that's not what he said. As it is written. We often think he's saying as it is being done. Thy will be done on earth as it is written or recorded in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, let's read one more. The book of James, chapter 5. The book of James, chapter 5. Now, this one I refer to a lot of times, and I often make a joke around here when I'm talking about it. It says from verse 13, Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith. This is New American Standard. If you read the King James or the New King James, it says, for the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick. That is, the word is prayer of faith. Let me continue New American Standard. It said, will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer, or the effectual fervent prayer, or the effectual heartfelt prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. He now described Elijah as an example. He said in verse 17, he was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and you know the rest of the story. All right? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's continue our teaching on the elements of prayer. And last time I talked about the praise of God. That's what I emphasized on, the matter of the praise of God. And then when we're reading from that Matthew chapter 6, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let me just review for a few minutes what I said. We also read from the book of Hebrews where he says that he that comes to God, chapter 11, must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those who seek him. Or King James says, diligently seek him. And I explained that when he says he must believe that he is, he can't possibly be saying that he must believe that he exists, because if that was the case, he wouldn't have come to prayer at all. Are you getting my point? So he was saying that he must believe something about God. And I referred to what God said to Moses. Moses said, what's your name? He said, I am. He said, who should I say sent me? He said, he is. Are you getting the point? He said, who should I say sent me? He said, he is sent me. That is, this is the way it is. There is something, Miles Monroe said, is a completion of that name each time. And it's dependent on the kind of situation that somebody is in. So it can be the bread that came down from heaven. That is, he is the bread that came down from heaven. It can be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. It can be the Lord, the all-sufficient one. That is, he is something each time. Are you getting my point? And I said, every circumstance you encounter in life, God bears a name. And when we're talking about praising God, in fact, I remember I said different things about worship, all right? I remember I said different things about worship. And if we're talking about praising God, I specifically emphasize that praising God means that we are speaking or we are calling God by the name that he bears in that circumstance. For example, God, we proudly say, I am God, the one that makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. That's the name that he bears. Are you getting my point? He says, I am God and there is none else. That is the God beside whom there is no other God. That's a very powerful name also. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So he said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's what he is, all right? He's the one that leads me. He's the one that gives me direction. So that's another name. So when we call God by his name in any circumstance, that's what we call the praise of God. Don't ever forget that, all right? And I say sometimes, because like you said in the book of Hebrews, he that comes to God must believe that he is. That is, you must, if you are praying about something, you must know what God says he is about that situation. Are you getting my point? That sometimes we come and we are worshiping, all right, God, of course, praising him that he created Jupiter. Meanwhile, the absence of Jupiter is not currently your problem. It's good. Actually, it's good to make a habit of praising God all the time, even if there's nothing. Are you getting my point? But if you are coming to God for something specific, you should remember to call him by the name that he bears in that situation. Do you follow what I'm going to explain there? All right. So that's what we said last time. All right. So, I want to continue still talking about that name of God in that Matthew chapter 6. It's our Father who art in heaven. All right, hallowed be thy name. Last time I emphasized on that hallowed be thy name thing. Today I want to emphasize on the fact that he said our Father who art in heaven. Let me just point something out there again before we continue speaking. He said that your Father knows, you know, he was talking about repetition, that don't bother using vain repetitions, because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And what I want to say, what I want to emphasize is the fact that he said, your Father. In verse 6, he said, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father. Your Father is what I want to emphasize, who is in secret. You see, the word Father is used several times there. Your Father. Your Father. That's twice in verse 6. And then in verse 7, he says, in verse 8, he says, your Father knows. And then he said, when you want to pray, start like this. Our Father, that is, you see, he has mentioned the name Father now like four times in that short-term context, all right? Now, what I'm trying to bring up from there is the fact that he's emphasizing on that name, Father, all right? We're talking about hallowed be thy name. And Jesus was making him known. In fact, he said that this is a new name by which he's making God known. Before now, nobody knew God as Father. He said, I have made your name known to them. That's the name Father was what he introduced. Now, when I was talking to my wife today, I make the joke. All right, I think she was washing something in the bathroom. I just walked in. I said, our computer who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. She said, what is that? You hear what I said? I said, what? Our computer who art in heaven. She said, what is that? I said, that's what I'm going to preach this evening. Now, why did I say that? I kind of was thinking about it. Now, there's a reason why I made that joke, and there's one I want to talk about today as a matter of elements in prayer. Before I talk about why I say our computer who art in heaven, listen to this. I say it all the time. The prayer of faith. What's the prayer of faith? All right? When we often, in the Word of Faith movement, when we talk about what prayer of faith, we say that there's a prayer of faith. Generally, it is taught as if it's a prayer you pray once, you don't repeat, you believe you have received, and that's the end of it, start confessing. Of course, that's not what it really means in the context from where it was taken. That's James chapter 5. He said Elijah was a man who prayed that prayer of faith, and you see, when he prayed that rain should come, he didn't come pray once. He told his servant, be looking at the come, and he kept on praying. All right, so the fact that you mentioned it only once, I never repeated it to God, it doesn't make it a prayer of faith. Is that okay? Now, what makes something a prayer of faith? So, when we're talking about that, we talk as if there's a prayer of faith, there's a prayer of intercession, there's a prayer of thanksgiving, there's a prayer of petition, there's a prayer of binding and loosing, there's a prayer of agreement, and there's a prayer of faith. Let me tell you the truth. Let me just waste time about that. All those things we mentioned are all prayers of faith. All right? Because if you say this is a prayer of faith, the rest are all prayers of unbelief. Do you get my point? But that's not what they are. A prayer of binding and losing is a prayer of faith. A prayer of praise and worship is a prayer of faith. A prayer of thanksgiving is a prayer of faith. A prayer of intercession is a prayer of faith. What is a prayer of faith? Before I talk about prayer of faith again, let me tell us the opposite of the prayer of faith. There are many opposites, which generally consider the prayer of unbelief. There's a prayer, you know, I have different words for it. You've heard me say several times. There's a prayer of habit. All right? That is, since I was a child, we prayed every morning by 6 a.m. So now, whether I believe in God or not, once it's 6 a.m., I will continue to pray. Now I'm 30 years old. Since I was a child, we have always prayed by 6 a.m. Do you understand my point? I was listening to Kenny Hagin teach today, and something that really made me laugh. He said, there was one man he knew. There's a song they used to sing in their church. He said, we can drill through the heaviest mountain. We can pass through the heaviest valley. In the name of Jesus, we can do everything. And so they'll be singing that song, that the man loved the song so much. And then one day he entered the man's house, and the man's wife said to him that, Junior needs a new pair of shoes, a new pair of shoes. And the man shouted, he said, do you think I'm made of money? And he told him, he said, what? This is a man who can drill through a mountain and pass through the deepest valley and then stumble over a pair of shoes that a little boy needs. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. Now, oftentimes we say one thing and we behave in another fashion. That's what I'm going to explain. You understand? I read a joke many years ago. Somebody said, a young man was praying. He said, our Father who art in heaven. And our Father answered him and said, yes, my son, what can I do for you? And he said, please don't interrupt. I'm saying my prayers. Do you understand? I mean, you call somebody, he answered, he said, please don't disturb me. I'm just trying to say my prayers. That's what I call the prayer of habit. Are you getting my point? It's not, you're not expecting anything. Do you get my point? I mean, you pray 5 times a day like Muslims pray. I mean, you know, Muslims don't expect anything from those prayers. Allah, that's not supposed to be an insult. You can ask any Muslim. It's just supposed to be something I just do so that Allah no go vex at yourself. You know, so it's not expecting anything from it. It's not expecting anything. All right? It's just a prayer of habit. All right? What the Bible calls rote worship. They just repeat the thing because it's what they've been taught all their lives to do. That's a prayer of habit. I'm not discussing that in detail. I'm talking about prayer of faith. There's a prayer of show. Yes. I have to show them I'm spiritual. Do you understand? That's what the Pharisees used to do. They make a show. If you go there, in that Matthew chapter 5, you see that's what the Pharisees used to do. Don't bother opening to it. In verse 5, he said, when you pray, do not be as the hypocrites. So a prayer of show is a prayer of hypocrisy. Do you understand that? He said, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. That's the prayer of show. We often do it. You give somebody a microphone, and we do it a lot in church. I remember one brother in that book, my LCC, he told the story in there, Brother Peter. So the first time he started staying with my friend, Chooks. And my friend Chooks and I, in fact, then I think I was like the president of the fellowship, but Chooks and I were big boys in fellowship, you know, those days, you know what I'm saying? I think I was the president. My friend Chooks was in the executive with me. And this young brother, new student, came to stay with this senior brother in fellowship. So one day they wanted to eat. They told him to bless the food. So the guy started trying to impress the big bro. You understand? Father, we thank you for rain. They wanted to eat, you know, a gari with soup. He thanked God for the rain that fell upon the cassava and the farm. God is my witness, I'm not joking. He blessed God for the farmer, for the transportation company that moved the cassava out of the farm into the mill. Look, he thanked God for the sun that shone on the leaves. He thanks God for the father of the people present who brought the money to allow their children to eat while they're in school. He kept on thanking God, and my friend was looking at him like, when will this prayer come to an end? I can't remember exactly how my guy responded, but that was the last time he allowed him to pray over any food in that room. And the guy acknowledged that, why did I do all of that? I was trying to impress the senior guy I was staying with that I knew how to pray. Do you understand? Meanwhile, if he had allowed the senior guy to pray first, I know my friend very well, Chooks. He and I used to pray the same manner. Just like Jesus Christ. We used to give thanks. For the food you have given us, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we start eating. That's prayer of sincerity. Not trying to impress anybody. So there's a prayer of show. That's what I'm going to explain. Alright? Then there's a prayer of copycat. You know what I say all the time? The prayer of imitation. this is how this person prays. And that prayer of shame, we do it a lot in churches, by the way. They give somebody a microphone. And so God that dwelleth in light unapproachable, today thy children have congregated, as it were, in thy presence, thy most holy presence, which the devil cannot come near. Oh, my Father. I pray that Christians will be very real. After they stop healing God, he doesn't like to be healed. It's not a mafia done. It's not an allergy. He's a politician. And then they heal him. He heard the swell. Once he hears swell, it will begin rain blessing. It does not need healing. Amen? Let's let that one there. So that's the prayer of faith. I just wanted to add that one to it. So I was talking about prayer of imitation. That one is what we do when we feel like this is how this person said it. So that's to be the way it should be said. Do you follow? I remember I was listening to one man of God. He said they called him to come and pray for a child that was convulsing. And according to him, he said everything he ever heard anybody else say. That is, what are they saying? That's what I am going to say. That's what I call the prayer of imitation. There are all kinds of prayers. There's a prayer of desperation. I don't know what else to say. That one works sometimes, actually. All right? But that's another one. It's a prayer of desperation. Now, put all of these things together as examples of the opposite of the prayer of faith. Now, what is a prayer of faith? All right? You know, we're talking about that first line, our Father. I'm focusing on the word, our Father. Because Jesus emphasized the word, our Father. That's what I want to talk about. Now, he's still talking about it. Let me say this again quickly. The matter of prayer is a matter of attitude. What makes something a prayer of faith? Is the reason why the person is saying the prayer. Is the understanding behind why the person is saying the prayer. Now let me go back quickly to that thing I said about our computer who was in heaven. Can you remember it? Yes. I said that because that's how we treat God a lot of times. We treat him as if he does not think. He only operates by formulas. I don't know whether I get my point. He doesn't think. There are formulas by which he operates. If you say the wrong word first, do you understand? If you don't have three scriptures to quote before you say anything, he won't listen. Because the password into his operating system is one or two scriptures. So if you have not keyed those things in, he doesn't listen. If you do not enter his presence with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, he does not hear. Do you get the point I'm making? Yes. So we have all those things, and like some other will say, if you want to come and pray about finances and you don't have seed in the ground, the computer does not respond. That's what I'm talking about, our computer who art in heaven. That's the way we treat him. We treat the matter of prayer, see, it's just a matter of talk. You're trying to prime the computer and press the correct keys, and it pulls results based on how good your programming skills spiritually, how good they are. But that's not what it is. Jesus used the word prayer and Father, talking about the matter of prayer, because this is the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be on, listen to this, relationship, trust, understanding. You are getting what I'm going to explain. That's just what it is about. You know, I have children, and they've taught me a lot about how God is. In fact, when I got married, I understood a lot of things. When I started having children, I understood some more. Are you getting my point? Yes, I began to understand a lot of things, all right? And just thinking about my kids, my second son, Benga, is very fond of that, you know? And maybe I'm lying down in the sitting room, just reclining on the chair and watching news or something. And he wants to come and ask you something. He does not, there's no nicety about it. He just walks up, cross literally, and lies down your chest. And then moves over close to your ear, that, Daddy, can I go and take this? That's it. Now, if he misbehaves, I discipline him very well. Do you understand? And that's something I've noticed about God. Well, it taught me about God also. God can discipline his children. It doesn't mean he doesn't love them. Do you get my point? I can finish disciplining my son maybe like 30 minutes ago for hitting his sister. And I've told him, don't ever hit your sister. If he does anything that offends you, go and report. So after he has served a small punishment for not reporting but physically retaliating, he now needs, maybe he sees a pack of biscuits on the table. And the law in the house is you don't take it unless somebody says so. So you cross up, I'm lying down there watching TV on the chair. He just gently climbs, lies on your chest, and whispers in your ears, "Daddy, can I take that biscuit?" I'm bringing up an issue here. It's a matter of what? Our Father. Are you getting my point? It's a matter of our Father. There's no key, there's no... How do I explain it to? There's no priming. What matters is that he knows, and that's where faith is, that's a prayer of faith. He knows that I have authority over the biscuit. He knows that I have authority in the home concerning who can take and who can't take. And he recognizes that the word concerning the motions, all right, of that biscuit according to Newtonian first law, all right, because every biscuit remains in a state of rest. Do you understand what I'm going to say? He knows that the only external force that can act upon that thing to do otherwise without any dire consequences following it is if I issue forth that word. Do you get my point? Therefore, he comes and says nicely, "Daddy," I said, "can I take the biscuit?" Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That's the concept of our Father. It is not about pressing keys. Oh, I pray you get the point. Faith, I said to you before, we're going to go on to it, maybe later as we go on today. We're going to talk about a prayer of faith. And then when James also talked about a double-minded man, I'll explain that one further. Because oftentimes we think faith, I've discussed that about the habit of faith several times, you know, different messages here. Faith is not the fact that I am able to be stubborn. I no go doubt. I was listening to Sam Adeyemi teach on TV, I think it was yesterday. And he was talking about courage. And he said that courage is not the absence of fear, but that courage is the ability to act despite the fear. Do you understand the point? That courage does not mean you are not afraid. Courage is that you can act even though you are afraid. He was teaching about courage as part of the keys to success. Now, what am I trying to say? What we call faith, all right, we often think it means that there is no shadow of doubt in my mind concerning what is going on. I'm not afraid. I'm not concerned. Nothing. So if it looks like something wants to trouble me, I feel like I'm not in faith. That's not what faith is. I've said it all the time. What faith means is that, okay, now that, I mean, it's like my son coming to ask for a biscuit. He can say, now that I'm hungry, it means I cannot desire a biscuit. You get my point? That's the way we behave, all right? No. What it means is that when I'm hungry, I know where to go and ask for permission to take what I'm going to eat. Not even hunger. Once I'm desirous, I know where to go. I know the person to ask so that my desire can be fulfilled. Do you get my point? Faith does not mean I'm just not a fear. Nothing. No. Faith means that if I have cause for fear, I know where to go and solve the problem of fear. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Faith means that if I'm concerned about something, I know where to go and solve the problem that is causing my heart to be troubled. Faith means that I recognize that he that comes to God must believe that he is. Remember that? I recognize that our Father is the one that is in charge. Do you get my point? That I don't pray out of habit. You know, my wife called me. I called her. You know, she's not around now. She went for a class. I called her, actually, when I got home. Asked where she was. She said she was in the class. But now told me some things that were up and all of that. It was disturbing her a bit. I just said, look, listen, leave that one to me. It didn't really annoy me. It was something that had to do with the institutions and all of that. All right? So, it so upset me, I almost couldn't calm myself down to come and preach. You understand? So, what did I do? That's how pacing up and down. I just simply sat down and said, Lord, you know, I have to get myself ready to come and teach this evening. So, let's quickly settle this one first. I itemized everything which I consider the problem. I told him what I really love to do. I think the one he may not want me to do, and though I would still like to do it, and I told him what I think I should do. And whatever it is, I told him what I don't want to happen, what I want to happen. I itemized them bit by bit like that. The whole prayer must not have taken more than 5 minutes. And I left it there and I said, Lord, now let me put my mind back on my message for this evening. Thinking about it now, I can't remember the scripture I quoted to introduce the prayer. No. I don't know whether you get my point. It's a matter of our Father. This is the solution to my problem. And he said something here. He said that your Father knows that you need these things before you ask him. I'm going to emphasize something. Because we often treat the matter of prayer as if, you know, there are certain keys we use. Do you follow my point? Now, just to digress again, you digress here and there. And I'm talking about how to hear the will, hear the voice of God, not the will of God. I said we often talk as if God does not want people to hear it, and they say you have to try and live with practice hearing the voice of God, and that you know the reason why I lost that money is because God was speaking, you did not hear. I tell people that no, it doesn't work like that. You see, if my friend, do you get my point, is in trouble, and I'm talking, he doesn't want to hear, I will compel him to do that which is right. I don't know whether you're getting my point. All right? If you're sitting there, you're about to fall, and I'm shouting, you're not hearing me, and I can reach where you are, I will jump and grab you. No, be so? And that's just the way it is. You know, it's not just about keys. We must realize that we are dealing with a living, breathing person who has all, if you add all the intelligences in people's brains worldwide together, they are too small compared to the one, all right, that he operates by. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows your life inside out. He knows what you want more than you know it. Do you get my point? You know, I mean, two of the boys came and said, Grant, I will sit on the left and the right. They said, guys, you don't know what you are talking about. Do you get my point? There are times, that's why people tell me something like that. God does not ever say no. The reason why is because, you know, if God ever appears to say no, it is because we don't know the correct keys. You know, I was talking with my wife this morning, you know, about something like that I heard before. Somebody was saying that the will of God is not, some people say that they are failing in business because God does not want them to do business. That God is never like that. If you know that the will of God is the method of doing the business. I told my wife, that's true. There's a part of it that the will of God is in the how, but there's a will of God in what. The person was saying that God doesn't care whether you are dealing in books or you are dealing in handkerchief. I said to my wife, no, God cares. He cares. He does have the will. Should I sell books or sell handkerchiefs? He has something to say about that. Are you getting my point? That you see, God is not just, it doesn't matter. Once you have the correct methods and correct keys, I said, no. He's living. He thinks. Do you get my point? He thinks. He knows about you. He knows your life. Your life is not an accident. He said he knows you need those things before you ask him. He knows what you need. People say that if you have the correct keys, he does not ever say no. I say it's not true. And I can give you several examples in the Bible where he told the people straight. They had the key. They had everything. They were talking to him direct. And he said the answer is no. You have to go over it. You know the examples too. Moses begged. He said, Moses, if you bring that matter up for me, while I go gas. So you bring it up before me again. Moses, he said, Moses, you're not entering the promised land. Moses begged. God said, no, you're not entering. Moses begged again. He said, don't bring up the matter. Again, that was what? How else do you spell no? How else do you spell no? He told Jeremiah, don't ask for anything for yourself. The only thing I'm going to give you, I will give you your life as a booty. Mom, don't ask for land. Don't ask for shoes. Don't ask for clothes. I'll give you your life. That's all. He says no. Are we no longer in a matter of father-son, all right, relationship? If I can tell my child no, why can't God tell me no? Are you telling me that all my requests are pure and God says yes, whether they are pure or not? Are you saying everything I ask God for is good for me and God doesn't care whether it's good for me or not? If I ask him, he'll give it to me? Listen, brethren, God says no. And one of the problems my wife currently has with my smallest boy in the house is that he still does not understand the meaning of the word no. Can I play game on your phone? Mother will say no. Can I play game on your phone? Mother says no. The boy will hold the phone and say, I want to play game on your phone. Mama said, you don't seem to understand me of the word no. So what am I going to explain? God does say no. He does. Not because of wickedness or inability. Do you get my point? It is not because he doesn't want you to have that which is good for you, or because he does not know how to go about providing it, but because sometimes he just determines that is not good for you, is not in line with his purpose for your life, or the time is absolutely not ripe, so forget the matter. We'll discuss this matter later. Why? Because his name is what? Our Father. That's what I'm going to talk about. Jesus used the word our Father for you to know that you are dealing with a living person who is personally related to you. I was saying something earlier. The matter of prayer is a matter of attitude, is a matter of understanding. A prayer of faith is a result of these things that we are discussing. That is this kind of understanding about God. That's what a prayer of faith is. Let me just say this. All right? I've taught it here and there also before. One of the greatest attributes any human being, especially a believer, should have in life is that of sincerity. I'm not talking about telling the truth alone now, like saying, hey, who took it? It is me. It is not me. Hey, there were 3 pieces of meat inside that plate of rice. Now, finding only one. Who ate the 2? You understand? It is me. It is not me. That's not what I'm talking about. Sincerity, what I mean is that for you to really accept, that is, be open to yourself and know why you are saying what you are saying, why you are behaving the way you are behaving, why you are talking, why you are not talking. Let me give a practical example. There's one example I use all the time. All right? A young man has a rich brother who is not a believer and is always praying for the salvation of his brother. He doesn't have parents anymore. This is just a person that's like his parent. And the person treats him like these Christians. Don't mind him. He's not serious. And he knows if this guy is saved, I will have more money. Are you getting my point? So day and night he's praying. God, save my brother. God says, see, no, stop all this salvation prayer. It is not as if I can't save people. It is that you are not asking for salvation. You are not asking for salvation for your brother. You are asking for money for yourself. Do you get my point? Listen, I said sincerity. If you can be sincere, you know the interesting thing about God, about our life as Christians, as it has to do with God, is that whether you say it or not, he knows. But he can't do anything except you say it. I mean, Jesus said, your Father knows that you need them. Then why did he say, when you pray, ask like this? He knows you need them, then let us agree. Because there was a man, obviously totally blind, and was shouting, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And the Lord still wasted all the precious time in the world asking, what do you want me to do for you? That's what you will think. It's a waste of time. Is he not obviously blind? No. That question is valid because you're not sure. He may have had a stomach ache. You can see it. You can see his blindness. He may have been shouting, have mercy on me. The last offering you sent, Judas didn't let it arrive. Do you understand what I'm explaining? What is asking for mercy for? Let's just be clear about it. What do you want me to do? He said, I want to see. He said, fine, we cannot tackle it. Don't say it is obvious. You are getting the point I'm making. I said, a prayer of faith is an understanding of these facts about our relationship with God. Whether you say the thing or not, he knows. But he can't do anything until you come. Now, okay, one of the things he does is to bring you to the level where you yourself will know. And then you must acknowledge it before he can move on your behalf. That's why when you are praying, try your best. Don't be insincere. Because he knows. Lord, the reason why I just had to behave like that was that what he did was not right. God said, shut up. The reason why you behave like that is that your pride was hot. That's it. Don't give me an explanation or, no, I had to put him in his proper place. He never can tell because of the young children around. Let's set a correct example. God said, my friend, stop all of this thing. You're a proud man. And the way that man talked to you, it hurt your pride deeply. And you responded so as to put your ego back in place. You can have many reasons. You know, this is one of the commonest jokes young babies mentally now crack before God. The reason I'm praying for all this money is that, you know, that way now, at least, I'll be able to give more offering to your gospel. Please, that's an insult. Yes, we like to insult God with it. That God, you see, this job now, they are paying so much. This one, the money is less. If you just give me more, you know, that way I will be able to, God, say, listen, let's face it. That's not the reason why you're asking for what you're asking. And don't even try to appear nicer than you really are. I'm not saying you're a wicked person. I just know the height of wickedness. Why do you want this one? It's not because, I'm not going to lie to you, the money is good. Leave it there. Don't explain what you want to do with the good money. He understands enough when money is good. Don't rationalize. Please. Our Father, that's what I'm going to emphasize. One of the greatest things I've said anybody can do in life, for himself or herself, especially believers, is a matter of sincerity. Especially sincerity to yourself. I know this just by the way. You know, I like to go by the way, just to help people here and there. You know when you know you're a very foolish man in life? You didn't know until now, I'm telling you, in case you did not know this principle before. When you start thinking you are smarter than other people, you're behaving very foolishly. Do you understand? Now, what I want to say is good to make you laugh. Start laughing. So that's... you don't mess for public before. Now they are laughing. And because you're all adults, everybody pray like they did not hear. You now turn your mouth to whistle. They know it's not your mouth that did it. It's another part of your anatomy. You know, they all look at it like, look at this moron. We have all done this thing before. What's wrong with you? We are just trying to be nice. You know, some of what I'm not to explain. You know, it's here. I know I'm digressing. Once you start thinking you're smarter than other people, you will start behaving foolishly because you think everybody else is a fool, that they won't understand what is going on. They know what the trouble is. They're just nice. They just don't want to confront you with it. That's why me, I say, you know, sometimes I say things, you guys, they laugh. I learned it long ago. You know, maybe it's the first time of going for a real Tush dinner, you know. They set the table. When you count the number of spoons and the number of, you know, knives there, the forks are not high. So, Lord have mercy. Who sent me? I for talk to see, I'm not the job. And some people, they start looking very holy. You think they are fasting? No. They don't know how to overcome the embarrassment of selecting the cutlet. I learned this long ago. You know what I do? I tap the guy beside me and say, well, how far now? Which one would they take start? God in heaven. I learned it long ago. And the guy said, you know, a lot of time you find out, the guy said, nah, Obo, me too. No. Hey! This is very common thing. Very common thing. So next thing, I'll just, in the kind of place where I'll be, I'll now look for one very assault-looking lady there. I said, madam, good afternoon. Good evening. Please, you know, I've never seen this number of pieces of implements in my life. Which one, please, do you recommend I start with? If you didn't know, she will first laugh. And you know the funny thing? Nobody ever looks down on you because of it. Nobody. They will laugh in the limit, but sometimes it's quite ridiculous. You know, one day the time I went for a course in the U.S., I wanted to buy fuel. My brother-in-law had gone, I had the car, I had a credit card, and there's no attendant in the petrol station, nothing. I just drive there, just park. I just didn't wait. One white woman came, bought to leave. I said, good afternoon. I'm from Nigeria. I'm visiting for just 1 month. I need to buy fuel. This is my card. How do I go about it? There's no fight in it. And she was very nice. Okay, you do this. Hey, fine. Thank you very much. So then once I asked the question, I never had to ask anybody again. There's nothing like, if you go and spoil something. Because you're trying to be, you're trying to form, like, say, have a. No, the Lord taught me that one. I don't know how he did it long ago. I know they pretend at all. I mean, you know, I did it so much that I gained the reputation for it. And that's why if I'm preaching, pretense is not part of my preaching. If I don't have anything to say, guys, this message don't finish, let's go. And I'm like, oh, this word is so powerful, I have to stop, otherwise you guys won't be able to cope. I hear preachers say it. I say, what's wrong with this man? We can perceive the anointing is exhausted. Come on, just say it. Guys, man, I don't empty. Let's go. People will respect you for it, that one. And more importantly, God will respect you for it. Our Father, let me get back to the message. That's what I'm going to explain. That's not the greatest thing you can do for yourself. It's sincerity. Don't deceive anybody. Don't think you can deceive anybody, actually. A lot of people, you think you are deceiving. Oh, God. You have done it to people. The fellow will leave. You tap him and say, don't mind him. But while he was deceiving you, you were looking thoroughly deceived. Yes, sir. You have deceived me. Yes, I agree with you. I'm thoroughly deceived. I don't know what you're talking about. Amen. I'm a fool. You are very smart. Then he leaves. You tap him and say, don't mind that man. I just respect his age. I for tell him one or two things. Now, if you can feel like that towards other people, you can be sure that the same principle applies to you. So you don't try to deceive anybody. You are not smarter than them. They are just being nice. Are you getting my point? Are you getting my point? The Lord is good. Now, let's not carry that, all right? That bad attitude into a matter of prayer. We have to win ourselves from it. Our Father, that is, He knows, He cares, He understands. Do you get the point? That's what I'm sitting on today. In fact, once I finish that, we're out of here. When it says, our Father who art in heaven, I said a prayer of faith. Let me not forget to emphasize that. A prayer of faith is a prayer prayed based on these premises. It's not a prayer of, I have the right method. Do you get my point? Listen, my son would never assume that maybe Ola Yinka and Bishop, you know, they come to my house and the biscuit is lying there. And the biscuit was there before they arrived. So he knows it's not their own. It won't cross his mind to go and ask any one of them, can I take that biscuit? Do you get the point? Why? Because he knows that they don't have the power over it. Interesting part, I've taught them that if daddy and mommy are not around and your younger one or your sibling offends you, you go and report to another elder. And they will go and report if they have to report somebody to you. But as per authorizing the movement of that thing from inside the fridge, they know you don't have the power. They look for somebody else in the house. I'm talking about prayer of what? Faith. It's not about method. It's that they know who has the power. They know who has the authority. You get the logic? That's what a prayer of faith is. Understand it. That is, once I pray because I know that the power belongs to God, because I know that He can do something about this situation, that's a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith is not a prayer of methods. That one is a prayer of intercession. It won't work here. At this point, you have to use a prayer of faith. Prayer of intercession is a prayer of faith. Prayer of binding and losing is a prayer of faith. Prayer of thanksgiving is a prayer of faith. A prayer of praise is a prayer of faith. A prayer of rejoicing is a prayer of faith. Once it is based upon the recognition of the fact that our Father who art in heaven has a name that is to be hallowed under those circumstances, there's a prayer of faith. Do you understand my point? I think I'm almost through with the message. Have you gotten my point there? So when we say our Father, let me just summarize it. To emphasize it. What it means is that He has plans concerning your life. He said your Father knows that you need those things before you ask Him. That's an understanding. Like I gave this testimony or illustration several times, that when I first came to Enugu, I needed to get a house where I would be staying. I still remember the way I prayed. I just told myself that I didn't come to Enugu because I loved Enugu, because I had only been here once. Many years, I came the year 2000. The only time I came here before that, I think, was 88, 89. Only once, there was nothing to love about the city because I did not know it. I didn't come because I loved the city. I didn't come because I was desperate to just get anywhere. I had a job offer waiting for the University of Ife then, Obafemi University. We're still in touch. My professor then said, okay, look, he took my final exam and came and called me. But your chief said you are very smart. Told me things about me and the things that were good and the ones that my chief said was bad. And that the things that I'll be able to work with him. And just asking me to let me have my application and my job is waiting. But I didn't take it. I came to Enugu. Through many methods, the Lord showed that I was supposed to come here. So I prayed when I got here that if I'm supposed to go to Enugu, that means the Lord knew I had to stay somewhere. He must have arranged where I was going to stay. Our Father, who art in heaven, knows that you need these things before you ask him. So my mind was all like, look, my life is not an accident. And that's my attitude. That's my attitude. When people say things like, ah, you know, you have to, hey, this is how you do, start making arrangements, you have to build a house, you have to, I keep on saying, and you've heard me say several times, such things don't shake me because I know the plan of God for my life. Eh? I know that I don't know it yet. I don't know whether I get the point. I only know the general, you know, I know the thoughts he has towards me, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give me a future and a hope. That's all I know. Whether that future is in Mombasa, I got no idea. Do you get my point? Uh-huh. But I can, you know, in discussing, I tell the Lord, and I tell people things. Forget taking the Lord now alone. But I tell people, you know, people who know me know the kind of place I don't like to live in. All right? If a city is very rowdy, it's not my kind of thing. It's not. Lagos, I had to be, you know, the Lord had to persuade me. And using the King James English, he had to deceive me to get there. It's just not my kind of place. Anytime I get there, my brain shuts down. I can't understand how do people live in this kind of situation, you know, this kind of place. Just not my thing. So I can pray about things like that. I know what's not my thing. I know what is my thing. You know, then I used to say that my best cities in Nigeria where I would love to live were places like Akure, Ibadan, Umuahia, Owerri. I've been there because when we were doing house job, my friends were in Owerri and Umuahia. And when I got there, I said, ooh, nice. And you know, Enugu is something like that too, but I've not been to Enugu, really. I came just for a conference. I really didn't go anywhere much. We were on campus most of the time. All right? So I have desires, the kind of place I would like to live in. So I'm not the type to break my head over this place. I said, oh, do you know what that, the way the Lord moved us here 10 years ago? Do you understand? Or 11 years ago? You may just wake up one day, just say, God will just let you know two different methods. Say, yeah, it's time to pack and move. I'm not saying I'm planning that too. Are you getting my point? But that's always been my attitude because I have our Father who art in heaven, who knows that you need these things before you ask him. You know, God is not our computer who art in heaven, who does not have a plan concerning where I will live. But when I go and harass him and press the proper keys and sow the right seeds and speak the right words, then the computer will produce the house where I chose. No. In fact, what I feel like emphasizing in this Our Father thing, it's for us to know that he has a plan for our lives. You cannot, oh God, you know, I keep on saying that thing, but I can't say it enough. You can't outthink God. You can't think of better for your life than he has planned for you. Most of your thoughts that come to be and you come and give testimonies are just those ones that are aligned with his preordained plan, therefore power was released to effect them. Do you get the point? There's no child of God, forget every human being, that's wise enough to plan his or her life. No. God, even the desires of your heart, if you are working with God, he drops it there. As we go on, we'll see if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask for whatever you will. And it will be done. Why must it be if you abide in me and my word abides in you? Then you ask for anything you want and it is done. It's simple. If you abide in me, my word abides in you. My word creates ideas, desires, things in you, plans, every kind of thing comes into your heart. That's why once you ask, it will be according to my will. That's why it's done. John said it clearly to us. In 1 John chapter 4, he said, we know, this is our confidence, if we ask anything according to his will, it is not about praying, hey, Father, what is your will? What is your will? No, it's about abiding in him and letting his word abide in you. His will becomes a part of the fiber of your very being. Are you getting my point? So that you will pray what you think is your thoughts. You will pray what you think is your desire. It will be that which the word of God has produced in you. Do you get the point I'm making? What am I saying by that? Look, you can't think enough. You can't think good enough about your life, all right, to come close to what God has already thought about your life. Why? Because the word is our Father. Look, this, I tell you that prayer of faith is not a prayer of stubbornness. It's not a prayer of a sure heart who knows that this thing where I want, eh? Hey, now I go get. That's not prayer of faith. They are look, a man praying the prayer of faith, a man of faith going to pray a prayer of faith, can start out with a prayer. In 5 minutes, by the time he finishes, he will say, Lord, forget it. That is what happened to me. Because you are beginning to pray, suddenly understanding will start coming to your heart. Say, Lord, why was I even bothering you in the first place? Did you come in unbelief? No. But because of your faith, as you started praying, the Spirit of God came, cleared the way. They said, oh, boy, you don't need that thing. Say, it's true. Why am I even bothering myself about it? Forget it. So a prayer of faith is not a prayer of, I am so sure this is what I want. I am so sure I heard this from somewhere. I am so, I know they changed my mind. If they said, if you will ask and you will not doubt, so I have decided that the car must be green with purple stripes and yellow tires. Just want to test whether your faith is strong enough to produce it. As you start praying, the Lord will say, oh, wait, come. Are you a normal person to be driving? It just comes to you as thoughts. Say, Lord, actually, what am I doing with yellow tires? The green and the purple say, what is the big deal? Just give us a fine car that will not break down. I say, hey, that's what you're talking about. The car I prepared in America for you, eh? You haven't seen it yet. So you can't pray about it. How can you pray about that which you have never seen? Like I say all the time, Eve was God's idea. All Adam knew was that something was missing. I don't know what I heard. Eve was whose idea? All Adam knew was that something was missing. That I can't do this thing alone. He had never seen a woman. The word wife had never been spoken by anybody. The animals did not marry. You know that. Animals operation different from human operation. So the idea of wife, he just knew something was out of order. But this is very interesting. See, the Bible said the Lord saw. And when the Lord spoke, you know, he saw and said, it is good. When God will answer some prayers for you, even though you did not have what you think was a clear idea beforehand, you will know that this is good. When Adam saw Eve, he could not form the picture of Eve, because even if he wanted to form a picture of Eve in his mind, he would have formed the picture of Steve, you know? Yeah, because the only other human being he had seen was himself. That Eve was a totally new idea. But the moment he saw Eve, he said, wow, this is now... Do you understand? He understood that this one is a perfect thing. That is a missing thing. Even though I did not know exactly what it was, I mean, just like John the Baptist. I know he's coming. I don't know what he looks like. But I was told that when he arrives, I will know him. So he was preaching. There is one coming. The guy was passing every day. You know, he had no idea. There's one coming, mightier than I. He will go home once in a while and say, this is my bed, don't we go. But tell cousin Jesus, may help us knock him together. And you go back, there is one coming, mightier than I. He didn't know who it was. But the day the guy finally showed in his glory, the Spirit of God now descended on him as a dog. And he saw it, and he now heard, this is my beloved son. What am I saying? He got it right when he finally came. But he didn't have a perfect picture ahead of time. Yeah. What am I going to say? God thinks. Tell your neighbor. He thinks. That's why sometimes when you ask some things, he says no. Because he has looked and he has judged that this is not good for you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What have I said today? Our Father. Our Father. He's our Father. He cares about us. Anything that pains us, pains him. Do you understand the point? He does. The Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servants. our Father. That's the kind of person that he is. Our lives were planned by him because he thinks. My children, they did not know the school they attended, that they attend now, existed before they got there. As they were getting to school age, my wife would drop them in the car and drive them there. And usually the first day, they cry. Second day, they cry. It takes some days for them to realize that this is school. But this is the point. They get so used to it and get to love it so much that it now becomes a matter of, if your shoes are not on your feet in the next 1 minute, you won't go to school today. And you say, everybody, and you won't go to school, now becomes a valid threat. Do you get the point? Because our Father, who art in the house, thinks. Do you get what I'm saying? But if I had followed their cry, they won't go to school at all. That's just what I'm preaching today. He thinks. Because I was emphasizing, alright? I was emphasizing that, you see, a prayer of faith is a form of what? Attitude. Or what? And what? Understanding. So what I'm just doing is just bringing understanding to our hearts. So at the end of the day, without methods and keys and all of that, you discover that prayer becomes, for you, basically a prayer of faith. If you're sleeping, you're sleeping the prayer of faith. If you're sneezing, you're sneezing the prayer of faith. Do you get what I'm saying? Why? Because it's not about method. It's about what? Understanding. That produces an attitude. Do you get my point? It's not about being smart. But let's just say something briefly about them. A man who is not double-minded. That was what James said. I just want to... The book of James. Let's just read that double-minded thing. James chapter 1. Verse 5. He said... But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I will start this one briefly, then I'll add it to what I want to say next time, talking about that, that will be done. Now, when we say double-minded here, there are two sides to it. There is a side in which one is not sure of who he's dealing with. His prayer is a prayer of habit, a prayer of confusion. Is that another one to it? Another type of prayer of confusion. Do you understand? Pray like this today, pray like that tomorrow, pray to God today, pray to somebody else tomorrow, alright? that there's double-mindedness there. But there's another side to double-mindedness which we should not ever forget. I was talking about sincerity. It's knowing exactly what it is that we are asking for. And I said something to us before. That's why when you are making prayers as believers, let's try to get down to the deep basics of that request. My example, which I've given also today, and I've given several times before, let's use this car matter. It is okay to ask God for a Hummer, amen? Yeah, if you want a Hummer, ask God for a Hummer, amen? But I can assure you, 99% of Nigerians who ask for Hummers don't know what Hummers are. Yes. You know what they're asking for? They're just asking God to massage their ostentatious ego. And that's why he doesn't answer. Do you get my point? Because we'll probably also get into it. All right? You have not because you ask not. When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. You ask amiss. We want to spend it upon your lust. And we'll make prayer requests that are based on, you know, the premise that God will come and massage our ego. It's a serious, that's the kind of prayer he does not answer. When I say get down to the basics, what I mean is this. And this is the interesting part. If you get down to the basics, that's why I say a man of faith, a woman of faith who wants to pray, can start with a prayer 5 minutes later and say, God, forget I disturbed you about it. Because if in that process you got down to the basics, sometimes as you are talking, the Holy Spirit will just be prompting things in you that you know you are talking nonsense. Let's take as a preacher as an example. I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now, I just want us to, let's discuss this matter. I need 5 million naira. The Lord said, one, you don't need 5 million. I said, yeah, I know. It's not 5 million. It's what 5 million represents we are talking about. I said, yeah, good. So what does it represent? Then you start discussing. Say, TV stations to cover the whole of, as you are talking, the Lord is reminding you, say, the last five invitations they gave you, you could only honor two out of five. And then you are realizing that you don't actually want to cover more than where you are covering right now because you can't cope with covering extra. Do you get what I'm saying? He said, Lord, that 5 million naira is so that we can take this recording to another level. Because which level? So there's no other level that you'll even understand that you want to take it to. So 2.5 million is no longer needed. All right, by the time you finish, say, Lord, forget that prayer for yourself. In fact, I think the point is just that yesterday I was watching TV and I was jealous of Sam Adeyemi. Forget it. And that's, you are forgiven. For saying it like that, you are thoroughly forgiven. Do you understand the concept? That's what I mean by getting down to the basics. Now, why did I mention that, talking about this? A man is asking for a car. 2 years later, he doesn't like that car anymore. Why? Because what real desire there is, if it's not ego, if it's not worldliness, usually it's not that brand, it's not that color, it's not that particular one. What real desire is there is usually function and use. Therefore, you can ask for a Ford Explorer and God gives you a Lincoln Navigator. I don't know whether I get the point. He's not going to say, oh, no, you missed it. Your faith did not work. If your faith really worked, you would have gotten exactly, you would have known that Ford and Lincoln are the same thing. It's just like Toyota and Lexus. That a Ford Lincoln Navigator is just a souped-up Ford Explorer, as an example. But you don't sit on the fact that, I asked for Ford, this cannot be my car. Don't worry, sit inside it first. Then you will know whether you have the appearance of Eve feeling when Adam saw her or not. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. That's what I mean that by a double-minded man. If you are sitting on outward things, you will be double-minded. You will wake up one day and pray for a particular kind of... We're using cars as an example. It's easy to understand, all right? The next day, you watch television. You pray for a particular brand of car. You watch it. They say, fuel is now expensive. And the car you're asking God for has 8 cylinders and is a 4.9-liter engine. There's a price of crude. London Brent is now $120 a barrel. Now go and pray, say, Lord, do you have a full efficient version of that car? The Lord said, no, there's nothing like that. All of them are 8 cylinders, 4.9-liter engine. Can we reorder it? I said, go ahead. At your service nationwide. Say, Lord, then you bring another brand. And you change it like 5 times. The Lord will just tell the angels, this boy... Just get him a very nice and decent Keke Napep so that his prayers will not be hindered. You're getting the logic. But if the man had focused, all right, on what his functional need was, that the Lord brings it from US or Japan, all right, or IBM, you know, IBM now has a... I don't know IBM. Some of you don't know IBM. Innocent, I mean, look at you. Innocent, I mean, is it innocent? What is it? Okay, vehicle manufacturing. Okay, but I would think it was innocent vehicle motors. I said, does it make sense? Okay, vehicle manufacturing. All right. So the Lord brings IBM, all right, or brings it from Russia, or, you know, somewhere else in Europe, or anywhere. It wouldn't make any difference then if you see it and say, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. My car shall it be called. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Yeah. Yes, because you were able to get down to the basics. And I'll say next time, you actually, you see, Christians manufacturing desires in the heart of believers is to be done by the Spirit of God, which only happens as you abide in Him and His Word abides in you. Then you ask whatever it is that you wish, and it will be done for you. I just want to add that one to you. We're talking about prayer of faith. Prayer of faith, most importantly, is that we understand this thing we have said. Our Father who art in heaven, He thinks. He is. There is something that He is each time. Do you understand that? And prayer of faith is just to recognize all of these things and respond to Him and respond in prayer according to this understanding. That's just what it is. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Have I explained anything today? If you have learned anything, just say amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow down our heads and begin to give the Lord thanks then.